Okay. Just mentioned as well that John has made some more CDs. They're in the back as you come in the front door there. There are some from the Gospel meeting last week with David Bell, and there are some there on 1 Thessalonians on the Tuesday evening, so help yourself. And then do remember tonight as well, we did mention last week that after the Gospel meeting tonight, feel free to come down to the home, and we hope tonight just to have not just something to eat, but we would hope just to share a wee word from the Scriptures. And the idea is maybe just to make it easier for folks that maybe we would know in the village who aren't Christians to come to hear maybe for the very first time the message of the Gospel. There are a number that have said they would come, and we look to see maybe some from the village that aren't in the habit of coming to maybe a church or a hall or anything like that. And so feel free to join us tonight after the service down at the home and down in our house. So, might open our Bibles then, please. In Luke's Gospel, and chapter number 8. Now, we had been looking at some of the parables as we had opportunity on a Sunday evening. I think maybe we have gone through quite a few of the parables now, and maybe the parables that are left aren't so much about the Gospel message, and so I think maybe we'll move on to other subjects. Have in mind maybe to look at some of the Gospel messages that we find in the Bible, but tonight I have in mind both chapter 8. I've been thinking a little bit about that at home, and I thought we'd look at it again. It's a section that has often been spoken about in the Gospel, but it has drawn its attention to myself again. It's that section there from verse 40 of Luke chapter 8, and remember that there is the woman with the issue of blood, and there is Jairus, who is the ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter, 12-year-old daughter's at home dying, and both of these people come to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 8. And so we might just read it again, please, tonight. Luke chapter 8, and reading from verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive and I understand that virtue has gone out of me, power has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And while he yet spoke, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And we do look to the Lord for his help. As we read, "Arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And we do look to the Lord for his help. As we think about these verses together. Now, in this little section of Luke's Gospel in chapter number 8, you'll read about three different kind of people in this section. You know, Luke is the man who brings together some of the things that happened around about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's what you call a biographer. He writes the story of the life of the Lord Jesus. And in this chapter, in Luke chapter 8, Luke brings together three different people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read about two of them. We've read about Jairus and his daughter. And we've read about a woman who had an issue of blood, a woman who was bleeding, who had a hemorrhage. And had we had time, we didn't really, but had we had time, just before that you would have read about a man that we call the man of the Gadarenes, a man that was possessed of demons, a man that had demonic possession, and he was living in a graveyard. He was harming himself with stones. Men had tried to chain him up. He was a man that was out of control, and they had put him out of the town and out of sight and out of mind. And for some reason, in this part of Luke's Gospel, Luke brings these three people together, three very different people, a man possessed of devils, a young girl brought up in the church, if you like, in the synagogue, the minister's daughter, maybe we would call her in New Cumnock, and two people you could hardly think that would be more different, the minister's daughter and a man possessed of demons, and then a woman who was so different as well, a woman who was a bit older in years, and she had an issue of blood. And yet these three different people, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why it was, you know, that Luke would bring these three people together, because I wouldn't bring them together, and you wouldn't see them sitting together on a bench, or you wouldn't see them joining the same kind of club or anything like that. They were very, very different people that for any other reason would never, ever have met, was it not for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do notice this, you know, that these three people, they all had something in common. The first thing, of course, they had in common was this, that they all came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson in that, isn't there? That it doesn't matter who we are, and it doesn't matter what society might make of us, that we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something else, you know, that Luke draws my attention to when he speaks about this man possessed of demons, and he speaks about this daughter of Jairus, and he speaks about the woman with the issue of blood. I don't know if you noticed it, but you'll find this, that not only did all of these three people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'll find that they all ended up at the same place. That's interesting. Not only did they come to the same person, but they came to the same place. And you will find that the man of the Gadarenes was in that place, and that Jairus was in that place, and you will find that this woman with the issue of blood, she too was in that place, and you will read about that place in Luke chapter 8, and the place was the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you will find that all three of these people, not only did they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will find them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I thought that was interesting. I thought it was interesting that that violent man that was out of control, that was chained up, that they could do nothing with, there he was, sitting down like a child at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You know, that would tell me about the power of the Lord Jesus. Tremendous. And the Saviour was able to deal with a man out of control. We've got lots of people out of control today. Well, the Saviour's able to deal with them. And there's Jairus, a proud man, a man at the very top of society. There's a man with a problem. His problem is his daughter, 12 years of age, and she's at home, and the life is ebbing out of her, and he doesn't know what to do. He's come to the end of himself. We talk about that, haven't we? He's absolutely distraught. You know, we get them coming into the surgery, you know. And I've been to this person and I've been to that person and something's got to be done. I don't know why they come to me. Well, here he was. He was at the end of himself. And something had to be done. And there he was found down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And a woman, 12 years, this bleeding had gone on. It wasn't just a drain in her, and it wasn't just tiring, and it wasn't just a nuisance, but it meant that she was an outcast from the Jews. And she had just come to an end of everything. She was distraught, and she didn't know what to do. And so she humbled herself, and she came to the Lord Jesus, but more than that, she was prepared just to get down at his feet. You'll find that in the Word of God, and you'll find it in Luke's Gospel. that there's a lot of problems that are solved down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter too much how big your problem is, but the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with it. But I'll tell you this, you'll not deal with it when you're away up here, thinking that you can deal with things yourself. When your head's in the air, you know, you'll only deal with it when you're down there. And so the man of the Gadarenes, he's down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the woman with the issue of blood, she's down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And Jairus, that proud man, that ruler of the synagogue, he's down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Well, three things I want to draw your attention to in this little section that we're in. I want us to think about this, you know, that there are some things that are very precious. Some things that are very precious. I want to draw your attention to this, that in the case of Jairus, there was one life, and it was very precious. In the case of Jairus, and in the case of this woman with the issue of blood, they had one hope. That was Christ. And you'll read that they tried other things. They had tried physicians, and they were hopeless. Maybe some would say they've not improved much over the years, but they were hopeless then. And so she had one hope. There was one life, and it was very precious to Jairus. And so he brings that one life to the Lord Jesus. He can see that that life is ebbing away. Doesn't know how much longer it's got, but it's ever so precious for him. And so he takes it seriously, and he brings that one life, the life of his child, to the Lord Jesus Christ. One life. Dear friend, you've got one life. And if it's not precious to you, it's precious to God, and it ought to be precious to you. That young girl, you know, she just had a few hours left. Now, I don't know how much I've got left. Statistically, they would say I've got about 40 years, because many years I lived for about 75. But you and I both know that I might not even have 70 minutes. And if you knew my family history, then you might err a bit more towards the 70 minutes than the 70 years. You know what? Short time ago, I was called to a house, and there was a woman sitting in the settee with a cup of tea in one hand and a slice of toast in the other, and she was stone dead. She hadn't even had time to finish her slice of toast. And she had come out from being on a holiday and had sat down in the couch, hadn't even had time to have her dinner at all, poured herself a cup of tea, and the Lord didn't even give her time to finish her cup of tea. One life, and it's very precious. And says the word of God, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. You know, as I saw that woman dead, holding a cup of tea and a slice of toast, you know, there was a wee verse of scripture that came to me. It was in John. Seeing there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his soul, and a great ransom cannot deliver. You know, as I looked at her, I thought, was she ready? She was on holiday yesterday. She had made herself a wee cup of tea. She was ready to go to bed. She never expected that God would call her into bed. Maybe she wouldn't have. Oh, I don't know. One life. Very precious. One life. One day God will bring it to an end. It is appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment, are we ready? Are we ready? And so this man, Jairus, he saw that there was one life, and it was very, very precious to him. It was the life in here, of course, the life of his daughter, and he comes to the Lord Jesus. And maybe it is, you see, if we just grasp, the preciousness of our life, and if we just grasp the seriousness of our death, and if we just grasp that one day we'll be in the presence of God, maybe we'll take the whole thing a lot more seriously. Maybe if we just don't think that our life is going to go on and on and on forever, and that tomorrow will always be the same as today, maybe if we just see that one day we'll stand in the presence of God, we'll take all this matter of eternity and salvation and Christ and God, we'll take it all very, very seriously. It took that kind of circumstance, you know, for Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, and steeped in religion. A man that could have told you things about the Bible that you didn't, you never even heard of. some of these men memorized whole books of the Old Testament scriptures, you know. I can remember a few verses. I once memorized a chapter. Some of these men, you know, they memorized books. Great knowledge of religion. But it wasn't sufficient when it came to matters of life and death. It was only Christ that was able to deal with matters of life and death. I remember hearing a story, you know, during the Iraqi war. There was a group of Muslim fighters, and they were involved in the war, and it got to the point where they knew they were going to be defeated, and they were huddled together, a group of them. Somebody had a Bible. And the report was this, that these Muslims, they got rid of their Quran, and they got the man with the Bible just to open it up and start reading. They knew, you see, that when it came to matters of life and death, religion wasn't enough. They needed something else. And it took that just for them to see their need. And here was a man, and he had one life, and it was precious, and he knew that only Christ could give him, and he was found there down at the feet of the Lord. I noticed too, you know, that not only was there one life in this little section, but I noticed too, you know, that there was one hope, one hope, one hope. Jairus had tried a few things, you know. Verse 43, draw your attention to it there if you've got your Bible open. Sorry, that was a woman of issue of blood, she tried it to do. Verse 43, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Here was a woman and she had tried all sorts of things. And you'll find that Jairus, you know, verse 53 and 54, you'll find that he had a high school of friends doing their best with good intentions. They had friends and they had physicians and all the rest of it, but it just didn't come to anything. But here was someone that could offer real hope, real hope. Here was someone that actually had the power, as we see in Luke chapter 8, he had the power not only to heal, but he had the very power over life and over death. And you know, if you and I are going to be saved, if you and I are going to have real hope, that's what we need, don't we? We need someone that isn't just able to make us feel a bit better, but we need someone that can give us real hope. That someone that can actually deal with the big issue, the issue of death, and the issue of eternity, and the issue of judgment. And that is something way beyond religion. That's something way beyond just saying prayers and going to a church. That is someone that can actually one day raise me up from the dead. What tremendous hope that would be. We thought about it during the week when we were reading 1 Thessalonians. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read them in John chapter 11. I remind you of them again. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of dealing with death, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's hope, isn't it? The dear woman, she walks away and she's disgruntled with her physicians. No NHS, she's had to spend money as well. And to add insult to injury, it's just about bankrupt to that. And there's a man who's got a house full of visitors and friends and all the rest of it, and the wee girl's done better, you know. Here's hope. Hope in the Son of God. Hope in the Saviour who loved me and who died for me. Hope for someone who is able to forgive my sin. Someone who is able to lift that burden of guilt. As I look back over my years and I see failure, and I wonder, how am I actually going to stand before God with all of those sins and all of those failures? But here's someone who died for sin. Here is someone who is able to take away sin. Here is someone who is able to cleanse me and to make me a new creature. My, there's someone that can give me real hope. And so in Luke chapter 8, we find that there's one life, and we find that there's one hope, but most of all, you'll notice that there's only one way, one way. And I think that's why Luke brings these different people together, you know, because they find that there is salvation in the same way through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to the same person, we've said that before, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as well, you know, just as well. Just as well they came to Christ because there is no other way to be right with God. The book of the Acts, you'll read this, God says this, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you might be saved. So just as well they came to Christ because there was nobody else that could save them. So the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So just as well, wasn't it, that they came to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was the only way that they might be saved. It was only Christ who had died on the cross for sinners. It was only Christ's blood that actually satisfied God. How is it that my guilt might be removed? How is it that all of those faults and all of those failings might be taken away? Christ, the perfect one, has died for me, the imperfect, the unjust. You see all of those sins, and you see all of those faults and all of those failings. God took them and punished Christ for them. That's how it is that I'm going to be forgiven. So they came to the same person. And they came to the same place. So notice that as well. They came down here to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this too, that they came the same way, the same way. Did you notice that? Look down there at verse 48. Verse 40. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go and teach. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. They came to the same person, they were found at the same place, and they came the same way. You say, well, just a wee minute, Stuart, what is it you're saying here? You've pointed out this, that getting right and being saved, it's found in a person, the Lord Jesus. For a man of the Gadarenes, he came to the Lord Jesus. And this woman with the issue of blood, she came to the Lord Jesus. And this ruler of the synagogue, they came to the Lord Jesus. But then what? Then what happened? Well, then what happened was this. They put their faith, they put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Important that, isn't it? You see, in that little section that we read, you'll find that there were people who came and they kind of crowded round the Lord Jesus Christ. How? It says that there at the beginning of the section that it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. They were all waiting for him. There were lots of people that came just to see him, out of interest. But out of all of those people that thronged him like a crowd, there was two that were different. You say, what was different about them? Well, those two were different because not only did they come to hear about the Lord Jesus, but they were actually found there, down at his feet, burdened with their problems, seeing that they really needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they came in faith. They put their trust in the Lord Jesus. They didn't just come with an interest to hear what he had to say today, go away back home, but they actually came, and they put their trust, they believed. God's way of salvation hasn't changed. So the apostle to a man down on his knees with a sword ready to kill himself, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Believe. They came by the same way. They came by faith. They believed. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. You notice that when it comes to getting right with God, you notice that it has to do, first of all, with coming to the Lord Jesus. And you notice, secondly, that it has to do with you putting your faith, resting, trusting in the Lord Jesus. You notice that this matter of being saved, you notice that it, first of all, it is personal. Very, very personal. You notice that? It's something that's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's personal and it's private, first and foremost. Did you notice that? I draw your attention to this woman. Verse 44, that she came behind the Lord Jesus, and she touched the border. In other words, she sneaked up on the Lord Jesus, if you like. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody's touched me. For I understand that power has gone out of me. Did you see that when that woman was made whole, when that woman was saved, and that's the word that's used, we'll see it in a minute, that the only two people that knew, first of all, were the woman and the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's interesting, isn't it?
You see, first of all, if I'm going to be saved, first of all, it's personal and it's private, first of all. Now, I stress that because folks today get the thing back to front, you know? They try and put the cart before the horse and all that kind of thing. And they think somehow that being a Christian and getting saved has to do with something public. You go to your church, you know. One preacher I heard once said, you know, going to McDonald's doesn't make you a beefburger, and going to your church doesn't make you a Christian. And they think that being a Christian has to do with something public. Maybe it's going to a church, or joining a church, or getting baptised, or doing something religious. A lot of religious things you can do in the world to spend all your life being religious. But you notice this, that first of all, to get saved, it's personal and private. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the first few moments of this woman's salvation, the only two people in the universe that knew were her and the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal and private. So in other words, if I'm going to get right with Christ, it's not about doing lots of things out there. It's about me getting into the presence of Christ. It's about me just asking the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ that He might save me. It happens when I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins. It happens when I take John 3:16 just at face value. You know that wee verse that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him need not perish but have everlasting life." And so I understand that Christ died here at Calvary for me, for my sins. I believe and I'm saved. The only two people in the universe that know are me and the Lord Jesus. First of all, it's personal and it's private. Very personal thing. Don't think you can bypass the personal thing by going in for the public thing. Joining the church and all the rest of it. Doesn't it work? Just doesn't it work? It has to be personal and private. And if it's not personal and private, you're a fake. You're a fake. And round about the Lord Jesus Christ, in that crowd there were Pharisees. They're always Pharisees. So the Lord Jesus Christ called them fakes. Hypocrites. That's what the hypocrite means. Fake. They had a mask off. Inside. The personal thing was wrong. It's all outside. You're going to be saved. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing to do with me, you see. But you notice this, that once that personal thing happens, you're not allowed to keep it private after that. Others have to know that. You're waiting until you get to that point, aren't you? Yeah. You see, this woman, you know, she was a bit shy. You would call her back if you were strong, a bit shy. And she knows she needs to be saved, and she knows she can only find it in the Lord Jesus. And so she decides that under the cover of the crowd, she'll creep up, verse 44, and she'll come behind Him. You see, she doesn't have much courage. When I say that, she don't need much courage to get saved. You need to put your faith in Christ. She doesn't have much courage, and so she creeps up behind the Lord Jesus Christ, and she thinks, well, I'll not even speak to Him like Jairus. Jairus came and explained the problem in front of everyone. I don't want everybody to know about my problem. It's a personal thing. And she creeped up behind Him and she just touched the hem of His head, and she was saved. So there she was, you know, tiptoeing away from the Lord. That's just a mess. You touch me. You know. You touch me. There's Peter, you know. I think Peter, you know, would be... I think he must have relatives in you. I'm not Peter, you know. He's a very down-to-earth, kind of straight-talking kind of chap. And some of his grandchildren must have moved to you about maybe a few years ago. He says, "Who touched you? Who touched you? What is that one? You know, there's a difference. There's a difference between touching the Lord Jesus and touching the Lord Jesus. And you can come close to the Lord Jesus Christ but never really have that personal touch, can you? You see? Somebody had touched the Lord Jesus in a very special way. They had touched the Lord Jesus with faith. And as they had come to the Lord Jesus believing that He alone was able to save them, some of their saving power had flowed out of them. And that woman had been saved. And the woman saw that she was not hid. And she came trembling and fell down before him, and she declared unto him before all. That's what happens next, isn't it? After it's private, and after it's personal, then it becomes public. But if it's real, you'll not be able to hide it anyway. And it was real for this woman, and so she couldn't hide it. In fact, there's a wee verse that tells you that, you know, Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, and you can read it when you go home, if you don't believe me. It tells us, you see, that salvation begins by believing. For if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that the Lord has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We believe in our heart. Well, that's what she did. But she had to do the other half of the day. She had to confess with her mouth. And you see, it started personal and private, and then it had to become public. So I noticed then that they all came to the same person and the same place, and they all came by the same way. They all came by faith. Did you notice too what it was they received? You say, Stuart, let's just say that I feel my emptiness, and let's just say I feel the burden of my sin. And I see what the Bible means, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I see that I'm a sinner, and I'm beginning to take seriously the fact that I've got one life, and that it is appointed unto me once to die, and after that the judgment. You say, Stuart, I'm taking that seriously now. Let me just suppose I was to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that he could do for me? You'll find that he does three things in this section. Verse number 48, can I draw your attention to it? Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. First of all, you'll get wholeness. That word wholeness is the word salvation. You'll get saved. That's the word salvation. The same word as the word wholeness. You'll get saved. In other words, you're in danger. You only get saved if you're in danger, don't you? You're about them going out and rescuing folks in dinghies out in the North Sea because they're in danger. Right? You get saved because they're in danger. Well, you get saved because you're in danger. You're in danger of judgment. You're in danger of standing before God in your sin. Bible tells me that's a fearful thing. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if I come to Christ and I believe that Christ has died on the cross for my sins, then he'll save me. He'll save me from danger. And the first thing that I'll get is salvation. But more than that, verse number 38. Thy faith hath made thee saved, or thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The second thing that she had is peace. Peace. Why do I need peace? I need peace because I'm troubled. I'm troubled within my heart. I'm burdened with my sin. I'm troubled with thoughts of falling into the hands of God. I'm troubled with my emptiness. I'm troubled with why am I here and where am I going and what happens after death. I'm troubled. I'm in turmoil. Christ is able to give me peace. We have peace with God, says the Bible, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's able to lift that burden of sin, and he's able to save and to forgive me. He's able to come into me with his Holy Spirit, and he's able to give me. So if I come to Christ in faith, I might have salvation, and I might have peace. And you notice there, verse 54, made her eyes, and her spirit came again, and she arose. She was alive. She was alive. If I come to Christ tonight, and I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sin, I believe that God has done a tremendous thing. He's given his lovely son to suffer at Calvary's cross for me, that I might be saved in his judgment. I might have peace, the burden of my sin and guilt will be taken away, and I'll have life, eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. I'll have a different kind of life. A different quality of life, and a life that I might have forever and forever and forever. Worth coming to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That's why they came, but it was only Christ in whom we could find all of that. What a Saviour they have in the Lord Jesus. Might we all know him as a very own and precious Saviour for us.
Our Father, we do come before thee, we do give thanks for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, indeed, for hope. We thank thee, our Father, indeed, that he is the very way back to thee. And we do pray, our Father, that I would just bless these thoughts and verses that we have. We ask that I would encourage every Christian here. And we pray that any that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet and come to know him, we thank thee for him, what a Saviour he is. We pray for help later on as we might just open the Word of God in the home. And we pray that thou would help and bless and love.